So we're reading Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
Well, it's great to be here again with you. It'd be good if you could, while you're munching away, just have those verses open in front of you. Trevor was a young, intelligent, good-looking man who loved having fun. He was in his final year of a law degree. His summer job involved him earning more than he could spend, so 4 out of 5 nights of the week were spent in restaurants or nightclubs. Yet despite the extreme sports, the parties, and the freedom to do pretty much what he liked, when he liked, life for Trevor still lacked a certain something. To be honest, it all felt pretty empty and pointless. He had often gone to church as a child, and as an adult had an intellectual interest in the Christian faith. Yet his church attendance was sporadic at best. Sunday mornings were spent either in bed or on his PlayStation. One day, as he sat at his computer writing an essay about Abraham Lincoln, it suddenly dawned on him that he knew more about Lincoln than he did about the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he was professing to be a Christian and had been for some time. He knew Jesus was important, but up to that point in his life, he had never approached his faith with anything like the kind of vigor he put into his studies or his social life, for that matter. Trevor decided to get serious about his Christian faith. He started reading Christian books, studying church history, and he made time for church and studying the Bible. Today, Trevor's relationship with Jesus consumes him far more than his hedonistic lifestyle ever did. Trevor, of course, is not his real name, but his story raises this question. Are you on the right road? Or have you taken the right path in your life's journey? Are you on the right road? Where are you going in life? See, having come to the end of his famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus sums it up in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. The first that comes just before the two verses that were read a few moments ago. Listen to this modern paraphrase of Matthew 7 and verse 12. Here is a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and prophets, and this is what you get. That's a summary of the Sermon on the Mount. And then in chapter 7, verses 13 to verse 27, the verses that come immediately afterwards, Jesus calls for a response to his Sermon on the Mount. You see, he's not interested in lukewarm disciples, much less those who praise and admire his Sermon on the Mount from a distance. A great 20th century preacher, in referring to the Sermon on the Mount, said this: "This sermon is practical. It is meant to be lived." Jesus is saying in these verses from verse 13 to 27 that the hour has come to ask yourself, like Trevor, am I truly on the right road in my life? And this should remind some of us of when Moses stood before a great crowd near another mountain, not like Jesus here in Matthew 7, but in the Old Testament part of the Bible, and said these words to the crowd in front of him: "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live." That's what Moses said to a crowd of people many hundreds of years before Jesus said the verses we have in front of us. And why would Jesus call for such a decision as he does here in Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14? Well, because perhaps like this afternoon, back then there were people in the crowd who did not yet belong to God's kingdom. Or maybe you are someone here this afternoon who would describe yourself, like Trevor, as a member of God's kingdom, and yet you need to hear the message of Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, afresh, anew, in order to get your life firmly back on track. Well, Jesus does not say to you, "Consider me, admire me from a distance." Rather, Jesus says to you and me, "Follow me, believe in me, live for me." So he begins his call with these words in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Look at them with me on your sheet. "Enter through the narrow gate." And why? "Because wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." I think you could summarize what Jesus says here in these verses something like this. Basically, there are two gates, one broad, one narrow. There are two ways, one easy and one hard. These two roads or gates are taken by two crowds of people, one large, one small. These people are heading to one of two destinations, one very good and the other very bad. Because while the one leads to life, the other leads to destruction. And there's a great deal in just these two verses. So I just want to make three observations from these two verses. The first one is this: God's way is confining. The world's way is not. As you and I are walking along in life, Jesus says, we will notice first and foremost that before us stands a wide or broad gate that is spread out in front of us, such that we cannot help but walk through it. We will also notice that connected somehow with this gate is literally a way, that is a path or a road, which Jesus describes as broad here in verse 13. But this word, which is translated as broad in verse 13, unlike the word translated wide earlier in the verse, means roomy or spacious. In other words, this road or path is not in the least bit restrictive or confining. It has no boundaries, and so it can accommodate all sorts of different people. There's plenty of room for people of very different views and opinions. And of course, the lack of boundaries here extends to a laxity in moral standards. In other words, these people do not seek to live by the standards laid out by Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount. By contrast, you have another gate that is described at the beginning of verse 13 as narrow. And at the beginning of verse 14, the same word, the word translated small, is exactly the same word that is translated narrow in verse 13. Jesus is saying, this gate could not be more different from the wide one. It is narrow, and we are probably to understand that, not unlike a turnstile, it only allows one person in at a time. But notice that the way or road connected with this narrow gate is also described as narrow in verse 14. In actual fact, this word could be translated as hard or difficult. This road is hard in the sense that it is restricting or confining. You see, being poor in spirit does not and will not come easy to any of us. In fact, in order for you and I to have the character described in the Beatitudes at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 requires nothing less than the supernatural work of God within each one of us through his Holy Spirit. Those who travel through this gate or walk along this path discover it is a way that has boundaries that restricts or confines them. It confines them in terms of what they believe and how they're to conduct themselves and live out their lives. On this road, there is no room for unresolved anger, for a toleration of sin, dishonesty, a spirit of retaliation, an unwillingness to forgive others. This road will not tolerate those whose ambitions are all wrapped up with this world alone. In fact, it is a road wherein you and I are called upon to treat others the way we ourselves would like to be treated. In other words, those that travel through this narrow or small gate and walk this hard or narrow path are those who strive to uphold the standards that Jesus talks about in his Sermon on the Mount. And indeed, that we discover in the rest of the New Testament. And it is also hard because as we seek to believe these things and to live them out in the world, we will be persecuted and insulted and have people say all kinds of false things against us, according to Jesus earlier on in the sermon. In the movie A League of Their Own, Hollywood actress Gina Davis plays the star catcher in a women's baseball league during the early part of the 20th century. She decides to quit the team just before the league championships. And in explaining why to her manager, played by Tom Hanks, she says, "It just got too hard." And he replies, somewhat exasperated, "Hard? It's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great." Perhaps you have found the Christian life hard going for whatever reason. Well, don't be discouraged. Jesus said it would be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would be a Christian. But the hard is what makes it great. But perhaps you're not a Christian and you're looking in from the outside. Well, I need to come clean and tell you that being a Christian is not an easy option. Those who think being a Christian is some kind of psychological crutch, in my experience, are often not talking from actual experience. Now, if a Sermon on the Mount is anything to go by, being a Christian complicates the heck out of life. That's because God's way is confining. The world's way is not. And you need to know that if you're considering the Christian faith here this afternoon. The second thing I want you to notice is this. God's way has to be found. The world's way does not. God's way has to be found. The world's way does not. See, in these two verses, Jesus is saying that the moment you and I enter this world, we are faced with two paths in life, two roads that can be travelled. Notice there are only two. There is no third way. Those of us perhaps with a hyper-tolerant, pluralistic sensibility may be dismayed to discover that Jesus, in these verses, is at pains to make it clear that in life there are only two choices, two ways to live. But notice that Jesus seems to also be suggesting that the way, that God's way, has to be found. It has to be decided upon, to be entered into. Verse 13. Enter through that narrow gate. It's will not be at all obvious as you and I look at the world around us. Imagine the scene depicted here in these verses for a moment with me. You are being swept along by this vast throng, but you are not happy with where it has taken you. Have you ever felt like that? You want to get off the train? See, the lack of boundaries is killing you. Freedom, you have discovered, is not all it's cracked up to be, because where there are no rules to govern character or boundaries to govern relationships, things go wrong, people get hurt. Perhaps you've had that experience. But Jesus' point seems to be that we all naturally find ourselves passing through this wide gate or on this broad and spacious road in life. It is by far the most popular road to travel on in life. It's the kind of road you read about in the tabloid newspapers and in Hello magazine. Now, before you start thinking bad of me, I need to tell you that I never read Hello magazine. I just look at the pictures. Yeah. See, what that means is that finding God's way is not like democracy. It cannot be decided upon by appealing to the majority. If you or I, like sheep, prefer to just go with the crowd or with what is popular, we will never find our way through the gate or into the path God wants for us in our life. The writer G.K. Chesterton put it like this: right is right even if nobody does it. Wrong is wrong even if everybody is wrong about it. But also, we will neither find God's way nor find living in it appealing if we are only motivated by our desire to find favour with the majority, because most people travel on the broad, spacious road, having passed through the wide gate, according to Jesus in verse 13. Notice that the narrow gate and the hard or narrow way mentioned in verse 14 only have a few people going through it and travelling on it. And so it is not for those who live for the praise and the company of the majority. Along this path, you will find yourself swimming against the tide, as it were, to confuse analogies. See, the Beatitudes in chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel, of the Sermon on the Mount, are all about those who are blessed or favoured, not by other people, but by God. In chapter 6 of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus rebuked religious hypocrisy that for some was all about doing things to be seen by others. So Jesus says, if you want to be favoured by God rather than simply by those around you, you need to find and walk in God's way. Instead of staying where you are, you and I have to decide to head for that small or narrow gate. We have to find or decide to walk on the narrow or hard road. So Jesus begins in verse 13 with these words: enter through the narrow gate. So imagine the scene again. You are fighting your way through the mass of people, and you happen to notice a small, easy to miss, and insignificant but ancient looking gate. You struggle towards it and find you can only just squeeze through it. But the path from this little gate looks difficult, lonely, and hard to travel on. It's really going to test your character as it bids you to leave all kinds of baggage behind you as you struggle through. Things like your selfish ambition, your pride and your materialistic outlook, your anger and your hatred toward others. The words of a great 18th century Anglican minister are helpful at this point. J.C. Ryle wrote this about this passage: we have no reason to be discouraged and downcast if the religion we profess is not popular and few agree with us. Repentance, turning to Jesus, faith in Christ, believing in what he did for you on the cross by dying in your place, and holiness, living for him, holiness of life, have never been fashionable. The true flock of Christ has always been small. So you and I have to choose to walk this road. But here is the scary bit. To walk through the wide gate or remain on the broad, spacious way that is taken by so many people, all you simply need to do in life is do nothing. So first, Jesus says God's way is confining, the world's way is not. Second, he says God's way has to be found, the world's way does not. Third and last, Jesus says God's way is a means to an end and not an end in itself. In other words, both these paths have an eternal significance way, way, way beyond themselves. That is why it's so important that you and I ask ourselves the question here this afternoon: am I on the right road in my life? There is no question more important despite the important business that you may go back to do in your offices, there is no question more important than that, according to Jesus. You see, the great irony is that the broad and spacious and popular path, the gate that is so wide and so accommodating to so many people, is actually the one that leads to hell and destruction, says Jesus, the most loving man that ever walked the face of this earth. These are his words, not mine. The gate and the path that captivates so many and seems to offer so much joy, delight and distraction, the way that seems so obvious and so right to so many people here and now, actually leads to misery, says Jesus. I remember watching Oprah some years ago now. Yes, I admit it. Hello Magazine, Oprah Winfrey. It's all coming out this afternoon. Perhaps I won't get invited back, but never mind. Anyway, the actor and comedian Jim Carrey was on, and at one point Oprah asked him what his motto in life was. He obviously enjoys his life, at least he did back then, because he said his motto in life is this, three words, I am heaven. Apparently, when he starts to feel lost, those are the words that keep coming back to Jim Carrey. He went on to say, just remember, you're heaven. That heaven is not a place to get to or wait for or spend your life in a mind hoping it will be someday. Have it now, you know? Heaven for Jim Carrey is not a place some people are heading to while others are not. Heaven is having a wonderful life here and now. You and me, we are heaven according to Jim Carrey. To which I want to say, how depressing, Jim. Have you watched the news since making Bruce Almighty? But more importantly, Jesus disagrees with him. Of course, to say to the average person that the life Jim Carrey and every other celebrity is living is one that is going to end in destruction and misery sounds so far-fetched. And surely all those who follow their own false religious ideas and ideologies and philosophies in life, surely they can't all be wrong, can they? Well, look what Jesus says. Enter through the narrow gate. Why? Because wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Not only is there a hell, says Jesus, but the road to hell and destruction is a very popular one. Many people are on it. Perhaps that is the road that you are on as you sit here this afternoon. And maybe you're thinking, are only a few people going to be saved then? Well, interestingly, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was asked that exact same question in Luke chapter 13. And his reply was very instructive. He said this, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. In other words, leave the questions of numbers to God. The thing you need to understand is that each of the two gates in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14 have a destination that is of ultimate and eternal significance. Where each one of us in this room will be in 1,000 years hinges on what we make of Jesus. So do all in your power to make sure you personally have entered through that narrow gate before it's too late. I mean, why not sign up for Christianity Explored so you can ask your questions and get to grips with whether what Jesus said is really true? Perhaps as a professing Christian, you struggle with the path you have chosen. Well, remember, there are great blessings to be had here and now in belonging to God's kingdom. Your sins are forgiven. You have a cleansed conscience, no matter how you feel. You have friendship with God, your maker. Many brothers and sisters in Christ. You have God, the Holy Spirit, living within you, and much, much more. But understand that this narrow gate, this hard way, will one day burst into the majestic and liberating freedom and wonder of God's glorious kingdom. The life you will have been struggling to live here and now was simply the means to a glorious future end. You will discover it was always more about the destination than simply the journey. This life will have been just the means to a great and glorious end, being with God and seeing him face to face. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this sober warning from your word about which path we are on in this life. For those of us who are Christians who perhaps are discouraged or finding it hard going, give us the strength by your Spirit to persevere. And for those who don't know where they stand, who perhaps are not on the right path, help them to inquire, to find out more about you and what it means to get onto that right path, that narrow gate. And we pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.